Welcome to the Conversations About Light podcast, a King's Cross podcast illuminating our desire to engage in light-hearted conversations that are grounded in Scripture. Our hope is that through these conversations, our community will be encouraged and grow in their curiosity about light.
Hello, hello.
G'day, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, Caleb.
Josh.
Hey,
Jib.
Hey, guys.
I am doing very well. How are you guys doing?
I thought you said you had the jitters. What does that mean?
I do have the jitters. I don't know. I've had a bigger
cup. Too many coffees.
Yeah. I've just had one, but it's a bigger cup than I usually have. And I don't know. Do you know, it's like a nervous anticipation.
Oh, yes.
Just feels like you're going to get cold sweats.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's what cool. I feel like. No, I just, yeah. Maybe it's the presence of...
We'll get you another coffee.
Yeah, this is intellectual like experience I'm having.
You should be nervous.
Sir. Yeah. Well, welcome to another Conversations About Light. We're in the theme Eternally Human, and this episode we are having a conversation around dying and resting in peace. So I think it's a conversation that everyone has to have at some point. Yeah. But before we jump into today's scripture and the discussion, I have a surprise for particularly Jib, but Josh, you'll benefit from it.
I'm happy for you to start with Jib.
Yeah. Well, I was in the shop the other day and I found... You don't know what?
No, I have no idea.
It's good.
He's pulling his bag out. He's opening it up. Oh, look at that.
It's a white chocolate Kit Kat. Have you ever had Kit Kats?
Yes. So
long ago.
Sort of, I was only kind of, my chocolate allergy only developed in my teens. And so I do know what I'm missing.
Yeah, but so now you can experience it. Yeah, I'll open it up.
I'm excited.
I knew you'd benefit from
this. I eat anything, bro. It's fine.
I'm breaking off a finger for it.
Thank you so much.
Josh.
Thank you. It's broken. It's appropriate.
It's a new block, so I haven't tried this either. I love Kit Kat.
Oh, man. The wafer.
Oh.
Very good. Have a break, have a Kit Kat.
That's right. We're not sponsored. Kit Kats are just really good. Thanks for that, Caleb. That's a great surprise.
No worries. I saw it and I thought of you because I know all you can eat is white chocolate.
That's right. You're a legend.
No worries. So.
Yeah.
Should we do this?
Let's do it.
Let's jump into today's text. And that's all I had for today.
Awesome. I feel some relief. Like, no question, just some chocolate. That's
just
perfect.
Just some chocolate. Yeah.
We can do this every week. Yeah. That'll be great.
Some blessing.
That's right.
Today's reading is 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 to 18. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal.
Awesome.
It's a great scripture to sort of frame this discussion. What's standing out to you within it, Josh or Jib?
Oh, the hope that is there, the excitement for the future that really outweighs our experience, the difficulties of our experience now, the wasting away, this what he calls momentary affliction. And we mentioned this as well, I think, when we were looking at physical health. But really to be utterly depleted in this life with the expectation of eternal life with Jesus, with no more wasting away, but being transformed is such a wonderful, exciting thing. I remember Francis Chan had a sermon where he was talking about eternal life. And for a visual, he had an incredibly long rope with a red tip. And he pointed to the tip and he said, this is your life, your whole life. You might live 100 years. And that's what this red tip is. And here is eternity. And he kept pulling on the rope and unraveling it more and more and more and more. And his rope wasn't truly infinite, but even his non-infinite rope, made the weight of eternity far greater than the experience of the little tip at the end. Mm. And so that's a beautiful thing. That's what I see Paul sharing here as well, that the unseen, the future eternal life with Jesus far outweighs whatever we might experience now.
So good.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts, Josh?
Yeah, the three big ideas I see in that little passage is the first one that's, well, Jibs mentioned them all, but wasting away. I love how honest the Bible is. You never have to deny reality when you come to the scriptures. It says, outwardly we're wasting away. And it's just very honest about that. And then the next part he says is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. So there's a preparation. So that I guess it puts a perspective onto this life. There's what wasting away is a preparation. It's, again, counterintuitive, you know, like you think prepping is like, you know, I don't know, bulking up, eating a lot of carbs, getting ready to go. But Paul's like, no, suffering and wasting away is preparing. What is it preparing? An eternal glory, something that's perfect and glorious forever. As Jib said, so, so hopeful, so countercultural. You know, death in our culture is feared and sort of despised, whereas it seems glorious and hopeful in the gospel. And that is counterintuitive. That's not how we think, I think, most of the time. And the gospel calls us to reshape our thoughts on this. Yeah,
absolutely. And we see that new culture in the New Testament, where if you do a search for sleep or asleep in the New Testament, sometimes it is talking about sleeping. Sometimes it's metaphorical sleeping, like, be awake, be attentive to what's going on.
God gives sleep to those he loves. That's in the Psalms. It's one of it's my favorite
laugh
verse.
That's a good one, isn't it?
I think God loves me.
Yeah, amen to all the new parents or parents who
right.
young children.
Yeah. But it's also a new way of talking about death for those who are in Christ specifically. Yes. It's a new paradigm where death isn't final. It's just sleep. Yeah. It's not literally sleep, but like sleep, it is temporary. Like sleep, we expect to wake up. And in Christ, we expect to wake up to far greater than what we went to sleep in. And that's so wonderful. And so to see that all throughout the New Testament, it really is, you see that resurrection lens looking at death. And it's how we should all be looking at death.
Mm, so good. It's interesting how it uses... in verse 17 says, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. That beyond all comparison, what do you think that means? Or
I'll have to wait till I get there.
Yeah.
I don't think you can, but go for it.
I was just going to try and... maybe contextualize it, like, in terms of comparison compared to what we understand now.
Yeah.
What's maybe some views of death within our culture?
Well, I think maybe what it means, if you think of your most joyful moment, your happiest, your most, like, this is what life is all about, and you think of that moment, imagine living in that permanently. And then multiply it by, I don't know, infinite or something like that. You know what I mean? So I think, what is it? And so in a sense, our culture is always pursuing that kind of a moment, right? Like, I want to live for this because this makes me feel giddy. And culture avoids anything that, you know, might put a downer on that. So I think the culture views it very differently. So we then... when we're looking forward to that hope, we have like, I think Jib, you were talking earlier about, like, there's the full glorious reality which we get to taste now. So there's something incredible and amazing, but it's not just some future date. There's a beautiful, sweet aroma and taste that somehow we get to participate in as well, which gives us courage and hope. Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus does a fantastic job of painting a picture of resurrection with him being awesome, being well worthwhile, being more than worthwhile. It's like, it's not just a fair trade. It's kind of like the best thing imaginable. And one of the ways he does that is talking about this beautiful banquet feast that anyone and everyone is invited to, and only a few people turn up to anyway, but it's awesome. One of those is when he talks about servants being given money to hold on to for their master and to invest, and to those who are given much is expected, and they return much. And the reward coming out from that is, great, you will rule over 10 cities. And I don't think that's saying like in heaven we're going to rule over, or in the resurrection we're going to rule over 10 cities. But what it is clearly painting a picture of is the reward that God has for how we're pouring into, how we're investing in the kingdom, how we're investing in what is eternal. And Jesus used that picture of investing in eternal treasure a fair bit. That reward far outweighs the work that we, what we put into it. So that's an exciting thing. And then Paul talks to Timothy when he expects he's going to die soon. And he talks about being poured out, but also this expectation that by his work, with the Spirit's help, that the kingdom grew, but also that he's going to be rewarded richly for it. And it isn't he's not saying it's for the sake of that reward that he does it, but he has this expectation that that's what it's going to be like in the resurrection. So it's this beautiful, wonderful, more than we deserve, more than we can expect more than we can expect kind of look at eternity, which is such a stark contrast to maybe a worldly point of view, an atheistic point of view, which is it all ceases, there's nothing once we die. And obviously different religions have different ideas of what that eternity looks like as well. But I really like the Christian one.
Yeah, that's cool. So aging gracefully, right? We all grow old, and I think Scripture's really beautiful in unpacking, like, there's a way that we're able to grow old. I think it's very countercultural in the sense of everything around us is like trying to hold on to your youth. How do we enter into growing old? Our bodies, like you said, Josh, earlier, the Bible is very clear that our bodies are wasting away.
Yeah.
So there's that reality. But then it's not said in this you're losing. It's said almost in this hope of the resurrection, like though your body's wasting away.
I think that you might be touching on body image, which I think is coming up as well. Like, yeah, how do I view that? But it's thinking about how that future glory plays into the now. You know, what does it do to me now? And I think that it speaks to aging gracefully, you know, slowly deteriorating. I'm very interested, like when Paul talks in 1 Philippians, he addresses his now, you know, like how am I approaching now? And he says, to be here is, you know, fruitful labor, but to be with Christ is far better. So yeah, he gives that description. But then he says, I'm torn to what to do. I'd rather, he's in prison, I'd rather, you know, suffering now is fruitful ministry. So he talks about like that. I'm like, whoa, okay. So the future glory, and he says, I'd rather stay as a benefit to you. I'd rather participate with Jesus and share in his sufferings. So Paul just takes, he says, this is far better to be with Jesus. Dying is not the suffering. That's like, wow. Yeah. Dying is the glory. Mm. Suffering is the now. And I'm going to stay because I get to partner with Jesus and serve you. That is amazing. So I think when you begin to look at life like that, I think that's how the Christian's view of death shapes the life and shapes growing older. You know, it's like, Paul's like, I get to suffer more. I mean, it seems weird, but what he's saying is I'm participating. I'm dying to you. I'm storing up treasures of an eternal glory, and I can do that for a bit longer. So life is, you know, if you're alive, suffering will knock on your door in various and many ways. And Paul's framework for that is I'll hold on to Jesus and participate with him because I know I have something really beautiful coming.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's how I'm trying to age gracefully, Caleb. But I don't know if I'm not sure I'm doing it.
That's awesome. Yeah. As a community, then how do we live in this like place of holding the tension between death and the life that we're living? Because I think it can be easy, or I wonder if it is easy to focus on death as a reality and become a downer on everyone around you, but it's not sort of what I'm getting from.
Well, I think maybe if I can just think about, you know, that phrase, death, where is your sting? I think sometimes I've read it tritely as like, oh, death's gone. It's like, no, there's no sting. But the 1 Corinthians 15, I think I shared with you guys this morning, is Paul says, when the perishable is put off and the imperishable is put on, or the mortal is put off and the immortal is put on, then will come to pass the saying, O death, where is your sting? So there is the real sense where the struggle is painful. If facing death is painful, there is a real sting. Yes, Paul says we don't mourn like the world mourns. You know, we know people are sleeping in Jesus and they will rise again. But I think there is this kind of sting that is only death is defeated and removed forever in the resurrection, and we still struggle, but we still have a sting, which is not as the world feels the sting, but it's still painful. Does that make sense? So I think I would say in dealing with death as a community, there's two eras. You can go into death has no sting. Come on, everybody, let's all pretend, and that would be an unbiblical response. From my perspective, and the other is the same, where death becomes all-consuming and that it's, you know, you're not viewing it as sleep, let's say. It's kind of it's the ultimate thing. And I guess how do we live without sort of heading off into one of those two unhelpful spaces?
Yeah,
that's great, Josh. Really glad you highlighted that, because I'd hate for anyone walking, any brother or sister in Christ or someone walking with Christians, to have this fear that the sting they experience when they lose someone close to them will be dismissed or ignored by other Christians. And really, we're called to mourn and grieve with each other. We're called to love each other by sharing in our experiences with each other, and really sitting in it with each other and lifting each other out of it. And so my experience of Christian funerals has been that they are both sad and joyful. That here's someone we will miss, that we wish we could spend more time with right now, but also that we look forward to spending eternity with. And praise God, the Spirit worked in them this way, this way, and this way. Praise God that they glorified the name of Jesus this way, and this way, and this way. And that for me has been a different experience to non-Christian funerals, maybe particularly atheist funerals, because it's normally the non-Christian experience in the West is going to be atheist. But it lacks celebration. It has the most joy that comes out of it is really fond memories. But it lacks hope in the future, and fairly so. But in Christ, we really have no goodbyes. We have see you laters. In Christ, we don't die. We go to sleep. It really is true that we have that hope in Jesus.
Yeah, very good. So just in closing then, I wonder what's a way or a thought that we can go into this week where we can almost meditate on that, not to lose heart. So holding that tension of the reality of death has a sting, but there's a hope.
That is the question we would love to wrap our heads around or engage with. Is death to me so stingful that I can't see past it, or do I just pretend like everything's hopeful and ignore death? Yeah. So I think that's a great question. I might ask one other question, in that the Christian life is a series of deaths. So there's this big picture of like death is final, but at the same time, God, we're to die to ourselves. You know, so this idea of death is, and Jesus set that example for us, who he died on our behalf and then God raised him up. And I just love that idea of the arc of the gospel containing, you know, those who go low go high. And so death is a very big version of that. You know, it's the lowest point you come to and you pass into the greatest high of glory. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? But I wonder if we could think in our own lives, what are the small deaths that I need to die as well? You know, there's kind of this idea of fear of death doesn't just exist in the ultimate sense. It also exists in, I don't want to give up this. I don't want to release for this, you know, whatever might be too precious to me. God, help me to say like Paul did, I no longer live, but the life I live in Christ. And so death to the Christian, I think, is something that leads to ultimate glory, but even it's a part of the normal day-to-day life of the Christian. How do I die to myself?
Beautiful, beautiful. Can I just add to that? what part of yourself do you need to die to really invite others into this hope of eternal life? That the people we love, that the people we know, that even strangers will, instead of dying, will just sleep.